This is KCUR 89.3. State House Blend is a weekly political podcast that investigates the Kansas legislature and the Missouri General Assembly.
Introduce yourself, please.
Will Krause, state senator.
Excellent. To the point. Let's play the open.
This is State House Blend. I'm Sam Zeff.
And I'm Brian Ellison. We're using coffee
and donuts
to better understand the legislatures on both sides of the state line,
the issues and the people in Topeka
and Jeff City. Here we go. Brian Ellison joining you here from the production studio. It's good to have Senator Will Krause, who's a Republican from Lee's Summit, with us. We're also joined today by a citizen and by a journalist, Nick Zweifel. Welcome to you.
Thank you. Good morning.
And CJ Janavi, my colleague. She is an arts reporter here at KCUR 89.3. Welcome, CJ.
Hi, Brian.
Glad you're here. We're at sort of this point between sessions, but December 1st was the beginning of the pre-filing period. You yourself filed a couple of bills, but a couple that you filed deal with voting procedures and election fraud. I want to talk about the photo ID bill first. You would require photo ID for all voters. Tell us about that.
So
tell us why.
We've been trying to pass a voter ID bill in the state of Missouri for 10 years. In 2006 was one of our first bills, and actually the courts threw it out. You have a new philosophy. We're going to ask the voters in the state of Missouri to put in the Constitution allowing the General Assembly to require a photo ID. We have 6 million people in the state of Missouri. 5.8 have IDs. Why are we not using those IDs to verify who's coming and voting?
Do you worry that some voters could be disenfranchised?
Absolutely not. I think there is a way we can work this out to where everyone has the ability to vote, and yet we still protect the safeguard of the election.
How worried are you about it?
Very. I'm very concerned. I've been to Iraq, and I've fought for our country and our rights, and I want to make sure we protect the election process, because it's that important to make sure that the right people win elections. We have a state representative that ran and won by one vote in a primary and turned around 2 years later, uncle pled guilty, aunt paid a fine. That's two people that probably voted for that. Their nephew. And that election was decided by one vote.
Nick, you look like you have a thought.
I just think this topic is one of these topics that can really quickly like turn off a conversation at happy hour after Friday after work, just because the rhetoric around this is something that we hear. It's consistent and it's loud. So my question around this is just, why haven't we seen legislation come forward that actually speaks to both concerns? Like, what would it take to file a bill that would do something like you're talking about, requiring photo ID, but also extend something to the other side of the argument and do something that would statistically show to improve voter turnout or reduce the burden, such as extending early voting, something like that? Why haven't we seen that?
We actually have. In 2011, when we passed this same process, we actually had, I believe in the bill, we actually had the ability to early vote. I think you hear the rhetoric, you just don't hear the compromise that's going on behind the scenes. And I am more than willing to work with anybody that wants to find a mechanism in place to make sure that no one is disenfranchised. And I think that the mechanism I would use, and maybe my counterparts to the left wouldn't agree with me, is allowing that if a person doesn't have an ID for a signature, as long as it matches the signature that's on record, that vote would count. So it'd be a provisional ballot. They would look at the signatures, and if the signatures matched, then that vote would still count.
I think, but just to sort of hammer on this topic for a little bit, this is a topic that gets headlines. To me, as a citizen, the much larger problem with our democracy is voter turnout. The much larger problem in state government is that most people don't even know who their state rep is or their state senator. And so what I would love to see in the headlines is someone saying, I went to Iraq. I fought for the freedoms that we hold so dear. I want everybody to vote. And so here's what I'm going to do to promote that. And meanwhile, we're going to ask you to show your ID also.
I agree with you. And actually, in most states that have passed voter ID, turnout has gone up in similar elections. So if you look at similar elections, Kansas was just recently, they passed voter ID, and there was a study out that said that the voter turnout went down. Well, they didn't compare apples to apples. They compared a non-presidential to a presidential, and that's not fair. But if you go back and you look at the similar election, voter turnout actually went up after voter ID passed. I actually looked at what they are doing in Kansas as far as being able to investigate and prosecute. And we actually have a bill that we filed that allows the Secretary of State to do that in the state of Missouri. And, you know, in the state of Missouri, we have 114 counties. And some of those counties are very small. And I would say that some of those prosecutors don't have resources because they are very small in nature and there's limited funds. And then we have some very large counties that have lots of crime and violent crimes and crimes against individuals. And so I think those prosecutors may be looking at, I've got all these cases and I'm going to stop working on this rape case to take care of voter fraud. They're going to say, no, that voter fraud case has less importance. So what I'm saying with this bill is if the local prosecutor doesn't have the resources or chooses not to spend their resources on this, I believe somebody should. And I think that's the Secretary of State because they're the chief election officer in the state of Missouri.
I want to just ask you, we're not really covering the 2016 election per se yet. We're talking with sitting legislators, and you are one of those. But we can't ignore the fact that you're a candidate for the Secretary of State office. And one of the things that we have talked about with many representatives and senators sitting in that chair is campaign finance, ethics laws in Missouri. Missouri, of course, has unlimited campaign contributions. How big an issue do you think that's going to be in the next session? And obviously, you'll probably be talking about it as a candidate for Secretary of State, the chief elections official. Are there particular policy proposals that you would support to change the way elections are funded in Missouri?
Campaigns are funded. I would tell you that I've been wrong on this issue. I have supported campaign contribution limits, and I was 100% wrong. And the reason why I was wrong is we need to know where people are getting the resources to run their campaigns. And when you have limits, all you're doing is saying that that's a limited amount of money that you can take. There are these continuing committees and there are super PACs. If you look at the federal level, there are limits that you can give to a federal candidate. But almost everybody running for president has a super PAC. So there's money going into that super PAC and you can't see where money is coming from and where the candidate's getting all their resources. And there's people that give money to continuing committees and then funnel around and get back to the candidate. So I believe the way for us to understand this issue, the best way is transparency. And unlimited campaign contributions allows us to see if $1 million check is being cut to somebody or a $100,000 check for some reason.
When did you change your mind about this?
It's been probably 18 months, maybe 2 years ago.
Well, I mean, okay, in the name of transparency then, I mean, you said about 18 months ago, maybe 2 years ago, you changed your mind. Also about 18 months ago, you got a contribution from Rex Ziegfeld for $100,000. He, of course, would agree with you that there should not be limits on campaign contributions. How does that play in?
And it doesn't. To my decision, that had nothing to do. That's the rules right now as we play.
It is.
I mean, our governor is for limits, but yet he's taking large donations. And a lot of my Democrat counterparts are for limits, according to what they say. But they're taking unlimited contributions right now, large
contributions. Because that's the rules, as you said, that right. Everyone plays by at the moment.
Exactly. So, I mean, my past donors have nothing to do with my position on this.
Do you think that doesn't have some influence, and I don't mean just on you. I mean on any candidate of any party who takes $100,000 or $250,000 from one person. I mean, does that not give that person some influence because of the money they contribute?
No, because right now there are continuing committees that are taking $500,000 that are going to be doing different ads on different candidates for different reasons. So they have nothing to do necessarily with a candidate, but they can still, a continuing committee can take an unlimited contribution. And you could put limits on them, but then what you're going to do is you're just going to have somebody create 100 different committees. And the union structure is already set up that way. If you go and every union has a PAC. So the Democrats already have a way to funnel their money to their candidates by giving to all these different PACs, which then would give to the different candidates.
Well, Krause, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Brian. Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it. Now, as you probably know, we try to get to know all of our guests on this program a little better by asking them to suggest the song that will close the show. It can be your favorite. It can be something that seems appropriate for the moment.
So what song? One of my favorite songs is God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood.
All right. I think we can come up with that. Thanks so much, and thanks for being here.
Hey, Brian, thank you for having me.
And thanks to Nick Zweifel from downtown Kansas City, Missouri, and CJ Janovy. Thanks so much. Statehouse Blend is produced by Matt Hodapp. You can find us on iTunes or on kcur.org/statehouseblend. I'm Brian Ellison. See you next time.
That was an excerpt from Statehouse Blend, KCUR 89.3's podcast about the Kansas Legislature and the Missouri General Assembly. You can listen to the full episode by subscribing to us on iTunes or at kcur.org/statehouseblend.